roads, streets, lanes, alleys. You may know these as places to walk, but in the world of the paranormal, they mean so much more than that. First off, we're going to take a look at the story of a woman who's walking through Russia. Now, that's not abnormal. People do it all the time. But this woman is weird. This woman's a weirdo. She shouldn't be doing that. And then we take a look at a man. Jason, it's just a bunch of stories of me walking. Hold on. Let me get through the intro. And then we take a look at the story of an old farm out in the middle of nowhere. They're having a good old time in the hootenanny until a stranger walks up to the house. And then we take a look at a bizarre musical mystery. When a folk singer goes missing, people think suicide, people think the mob, but to this day, his fans proclaim he was taken by the aliens. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. I hope you guys are having a great day too. This episode is actually being recorded just minutes after yesterday's episode because I'm getting ready to wrestle a hog and I want to be in fighting shape and I want to have all my episodes recorded in case I get horribly injured. I just have to edit them. The recording process is the most problematic part of it because it's where things can go wrong. Like the performance can be bad, the mic can be bad, I can run out of things to say, all sorts of stuff. This is the technically the hardest part. Once this part's done, I can kind of just hit buttons and edit and then interact with you guys. And speaking of interacting with you guys, let me give a shout out starting off right now to our legacy Patreon supporter coming into Dead Rabbit Command, flying frisbees, throwing frisbees everywhere. That's what he's into, I guess. Paul Martinez, he's hovering on a frisbee as he's throwing frisbees around at us. He's playing a little bit of that frosh. Paul, you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. If you guys hate frisbee golf or you guys can't support the Patreon, that's fine too. Just help spread the word about the show. Really, really helps out a lot. You'll also see that it is Fan Art Friday, and today's selection for Fan Art Friday is from Super Awesome Robot. So give everyone a robot clap for the Super Awesome Robot. Thank you so much for Fan Art Friday. So Paul is now wearing a full-on Tron Legacy outfit. He's now throwing data discs around. It's super cool. I now have on my Tron Legacy outfit. I'm Renzler. But Afternoon Cosplaying is one of the most underrated sci-fi films. Let's go ahead, Paul. I'm going to toss you the keys to the Dead Rabbit Dirigible. We are leaving behind Dead Rabbit Command. We're headed out to Siberia. We were actually just in Russia yesterday. So Paul is flying us out in the Dead Rabbit Dirigible. We're headed out to Siberia. The year is 2017. And we're headed out to a place called the Road of Bones. No, it's not your Big Brother's D&D supplemental manual from 1983. This is an actual place. It was called that because it was built by prison labor during Soviet Russia, and they basically were like, you prisoners, we don't care what happens to you. In the construction of this road in Siberia, they estimate between 250,000 to 1 million people died building this road, or as it's known in Soviet Russia, Tuesday. When you were building this road and you died, you basically fell down on the ground, which tends to happen when you die, right? But the soil was too frozen to bury you. Plus, they don't have time. You're building this road. You got deadlines to meet. Get it? Deadlines? Because everyone's dying? Did it? Shh. Maybe I should have taken more of a break between episodes. It's called the Road of Bones because for a while there were bones littering the highway. The government has now apologized for that whole program, but that was the case. That's why they called it the Road of Bones. Now it's known as, officially, the Kolyma Federal Highway. In 2017, a woman is sighted walking down the road. Again, not unusual. People are allowed to walk down the roads all over the place. But truck drivers are driving by. See a girl walking on the side of the road. Cars driving by. Girls walking by. Truck drivers are like doing their routes, coming back the other way. She's still walking. Breaker, breaker, do you see that young lady walking on the side of the road? Smokey Bear, do you see that? Yes, pile of bones, I see that. I'm coming up here. This woman is sighted on this road making a 1,200-mile walk. She's sighted between Yaksduk and Magadan. Apparently, she has made this 1,200-mile walk multiple times. because she's been seen all along the length of it multiple times. So you're like, Jason, is this a phantom? Did she get in the backseat of Smokey Bear's big rig? And then he takes her to the prom, and then they get there and the backseat's empty. Nothing but a wet raincoat. No, there's a photo of this woman. Not a blurry photo late at night. That's the jump scare photo. Ah! There's a photo of this woman walking the street. It is a real woman that has been documented. The police have actually talked to this woman. What are you doing walking? It's a free country, isn't it? And their eyes shift from side to side. They're like, yeah, kind of nowadays. 50 years ago, it wasn't. She's like, ah, bugger off. Truck drivers have stopped. Hey, you need a ride? She doesn't engage with anybody. She'll answer questions for the police because you kind of have to, but she just keeps walking. The police go, she's not breaking any laws. You are allowed to walk down the street. People who have, like, hey, miss, you need a ride, you need a ride. Eventually, they think she's mentally ill. They'll grab her. She freaks out. She starts screaming incoherently. You got to run. You get in your car. Now she's in your backseat with a wet coat. She's strangling you with it. She's not equipped for winter travel. See, if you saw someone in a big parka with a sled and a bunch of snow dogs, you'd be, oh, that's fine. It's a little weird. It's a little weird. It's like holding up traffic. But whatever. But she's walking. She's wearing, they said she's wearing a white jacket and blue jeans. And then she has like on like a coat. Not like a big old G.I. Joe winter soldier coat. Just a coat. She's never seen in a populated area. And oddly enough, no one has ever seen her eat. Which I'm sure she's like going off into the bushes eating berries and stuff like that. Squirrels. She's grabbing the rogue squirrel and taking a bite out of it. Trucks and cars are seeing her walk all this time. They've never seen her get to a destination. They've never seen her kick her feet up at a McDonald's. They have no idea why she's doing this walk. She's just seen walking. She was first reported in 2017. The last report I could find was in April of 2018. So it had at least a year, if not more. She may still be doing it now. It's just old news over there. They're like, woman walks. It's super great news the first time, and now people are like, ah. I got that from the 40 and map, too. That's a really cool resource. That's going to be in the show notes. You guys can look around, see if you find anything odd. But it's real. This isn't a phantom. This isn't the ghost of a girl trying to get home after a drunk driving accident. This is a real woman walking 1,200 miles multiple times through Siberia, photographed, and nobody knows why. Obviously, it's probably some sort of mental illness, but it's just a weird story. And it's one of those things that no one will ever know the answer for. We did that one story a long time ago about the guy in France who was just walking through the bushes dressed in a gas mask. And everyone was trying to follow him around. And then the newspaper published a story on him. And he took all of his gear off and left it on a rock and said, now I'm dead. So we do have, and we covered the flautist, the guy who was playing the recorder in Brazil. We do have these weird people kind of hanging out. I met Joe Trombone in San Leandro. He's one of the greats. The rapping crazy man who'd get on a bus and rap for you. I think these people are always interesting when we run into these anomalies of humankind. People who are outside the edges. But not in like an edgy way. Not in like an annoying way. Not like the person who's playing My Chemical Romance at top volume while you're trying to talk to the girl at the party. Just like in a cool, weird way. But this woman might also be into My Chemical Romance. So stay away. Stay away. If she gets in your vaccine and she reaches for your radio, be prepared for Black Parade. For 1,200 miles, listening to that album for 1,200 miles. Paul, let's go ahead and hop in the Jason Jalopy. Let's give her a ride. She wants to ride with us because she's super cool. She has on all the mascara. Yes, we will listen to Black Parade for the rest of the journey. Hope you guys are into that. Paul, take us out of Siberia. We are headed back to the United States. We are specifically going to Canada. I read my notes wrong, but that's near the United States. It's the United States' little brother. We're headed up to Canada. Jason Jalopy's driving down the road. We get to Camperville. That's in Manitoba, Canada. The year is 1930. The winter storm pauses to take a deep breath. It's winter. It's late at night. The snow is falling. It's super cold outside. It's below 30 degrees, and this family is fast asleep. They're wearing their PJs. They got their thermal socks on. Winter storm is wrapping around the building. Outside, their dogs are going nuts. The dad wakes up, huh? What? What's going on? And he goes, and he looks out the window, and the dogs are like... They're now no longer barking. They look like they're rabid. It's just like foam coming out of their mouths. Apparently, they also sound like a man. The dog sounded like a 44-year-old man trying to record a podcast without waking up his neighbors. It was crazy. The dad's standing there. The rest of the family is looking through the window, and they see a man standing in their front yard. Now, the winter storm is pelting the building with snow. And it's also hitting the stranger. He's not immune to the weather. But he's dressed like he is. He's wearing a tuxedo. He's just standing out in the snow. The dogs are still just out of it. So the dad and the older brother, they open the door. Super, super spooky door opens up. I need to fix that, the dad says. He walks out with his son, and the man is just standing there in the tuxedo. What do you want? What's going on here? Why are you bugging my dogs? Why are you making them sound like a 44-year-old man trying to record a podcast late at night? The man just stands there in the snow. He's like, what does that even mean? He's just standing there. So the father and his son begin to approach the man, and the man takes a step backwards. And they get closer to him, and he takes another step backwards. And they're like, okay, well, now it's on. This guy's obviously just kind of being a jerk. No one walks backward on my property. They keep walking towards him. He keeps walking backwards. Now, he's walking backwards one step at a time. The men speed up. They start jogging towards him. He continues to take one step back. And that's when the men realize, and even the people witnessing this from the house, no matter how fast the men move towards this figure, they can never close the distance. And the man is constantly just taking one step backwards. They're running towards him. He takes one step backwards. They're still 20 feet away. They follow him up to a hill, and then they just stop. And he's still just walking backwards. He walks backwards down the road and is soon swallowed by the winter storm. That's Dead Rabbit Radio Creepypasta Hour. Now, I actually got that from thinkaboutitdocs.com. They got it from paranormal.com. Back in June 2003. I give a lot of credit to thinkaboutitdocs.com when they report stuff. I haven't been led wrong yet. So this story does sound a lot like creepypasta. I've never heard it before. I think it's really interesting. I think it's a creepy visual. Anything that plays with time and space like that. And it's so funny because when I was reading the story, I imagined him as like a tall, lanky guy. It doesn't actually say that in the notes. It never says that he's tall and lanky, but I think that's just kind of how you get it. It's interesting because the only visual description, they don't say, and he had a creepy grin and real life blood was pouring out of his eyeballs. It was just that it was a guy in a tuxedo, which makes it creepier. You fill in your own details. I filled it in as like a lanky guy in a tuxedo. But it was a man in a tuxedo, and no matter how fast they moved towards him, he was always able to stay away from him. He was just walking one step at a time. It's a very, very simple story. Very, very simple story. Was it an alien intruder, some sort of phantom, a demonic entity, interdimensional traveler? You pretty much choose whatever you want with it. Very, very simple story, frightening visual, and the fact that it doesn't have an ending where it's like, I'll be back to take your firstborn. It doesn't have an implication of why the creature was there, makes it that creepier. So we cover stories about some crazy kid in Brazil, like we did earlier in the week, who's beating up chickens. You just go, well, I don't have chickens. I don't live in Brazil. I'm not worried about this Dennis the Menace-esque character messing up my life. This guy came out of nowhere, had no goal, and left. And that could happen to any of us. You could be walking to your car later tonight, and you just see a figure standing there next to your car. I mean, there's nothing they did to start this, and there was nothing they did to finish it, so you don't know why it was there. Those type of stories I find very unsettling. Also, park underneath the streetlights, but sometimes that doesn't even help, right? You're walking towards the car and your streetlights, like, and every time it flickers black, you see a figure standing there, but then the light's back and it's gone. Paul's like, dang it, Jason, I have to go to bed after listening to this podcast. It's okay, Paul. Let's go ahead and leave behind the Jason Jalopy. We're going to hop in the Carpenter Copter. We are headed out to one more story that involves walking. You like this theme episode? You like this walking theme episode? We are leaving behind Canada. Paul, I want you to take us out to Los Angeles. We're in the 1960s, so we're dressed up. We got really cool clothes on and stuff like that, as opposed to the lame clothes we're wearing today. We got really cool clothes on. We're walking around LA. We're sitting at these cool nightclubs. We're hanging out with a bunch of old stars, but they weren't old back then. They were young. And there's a man on stage, and he's tuning his guitar, and this band's getting ready. And Debbie Reynolds is sitting next to me, and she goes, "Hey, dude, you won't believe this dude is dope. Like, this guy's super, super awesome." I was like, "Who is it?" And Debbie Reynolds goes, "It's the only old star I can think of off the top of my head because I just watched Singing from the Rain a couple weeks ago. I never saw it before." Debbie Reynolds goes, "Yeah, dude, this guy's killer. His name is Jim Sullivan." And he's sitting there and he gets his little pedestal ready and he starts playing a jaunty little tune. And all of these rich, powerful people in LA are mesmerized by this simple folk singer singing simple folk songs. He was one of those guys. Jim Sullivan was one of those guys who wanted to make it. We all want to make it, right? Whatever your career, it could be you want to make it as a stockbroker, or you want to make it as an artist, you want to make it as a mechanic. Everyone has dreams and aspirations, which is great. You got to have those. You got to keep moving forward. And Jim Sullivan was just like us. His aspiration was music. And he actually kind of lucked out because his wife worked for Capitol Records. Now, she wasn't a producer. She was like a staff member there. And she did her best to try to get his music in front of the people at Capitol Records. But it just wasn't successful. She couldn't get them to really pick up the album. So you go, okay, you know, he's trying his best. He had this weird way of mesmerizing people. Where his first gigs were at very, very prestigious nightclubs. And he's playing these songs. Now, this is the 1960s, so folk music is huge right now. And the audiences are full of musicians, they're full of actors, they're full of these powerful people. And they're like, oh my God, this is really, really good music. This guy needs an album deal. He's like, yeah, I'm working on it. You know, my wife's trying to pull strings, but Capitol Records won't listen to it. He had a bunch of celebrity friends pool their money together. They pool their money together to get him studio time. And not only studio time, he's just a simple man with a guitar who's writing these songs. They have to get backing musicians for him. They get him studio time with the Wrecking Crew. The Wrecking Crew were studio musicians for some of the biggest acts at the time. This cost serious money. His friends really, really believed in Jim Sullivan. They got him the studio. They got him the Wrecking Crew. They got him the best of the best. And his first album was entitled UFO. Didn't take off, though. It was pure folk music, but it just didn't take off. 1972, he does get signed to a record label. He gets signed to Playboy Records. The Playboy company decides to actually get into the music business. And one of the very first acts, because this guy had such a great reputation, to launch their record company, they pick Jim Sullivan. But that album also flops. You can have the best music out there, the best art out there, and it just doesn't line up. And that's what happened to Jim Sullivan. His marriage started to fall apart. He had a child. That's not why the marriage started to fall apart. He's like, Barney, the reason why we're breaking up is you. No, they had a kid, but the marriage was starting to fall apart. He started to drink, which is never going to make things good. Starts to drink very, very heavily. And he says, you know what? Okay, maybe Los Angeles isn't the place for me to be. I'm going to try my luck in Nashville. So, honey, Barney, give a side eye to Barney. You almost broke me and your mom up. He goes, I'm going to go to Nashville. I'm going to try to make it there. And then I'll bring you guys out with me. Or get a divorce. You know, one or the other. This marriage isn't going so great. But he did still talk to his wife into this adventure we're going on. So he goes, I'm going to go to Nashville. It's March 4th, 1975. At this point, he is loading up his Volkswagen Beetle. And he's going to make the trip from Los Angeles to Nashville. On the way out there, he stops at a motel in Santa Rosa, New Mexico. Goes in, gets a room, buys some vodka. Not a great thing to do, especially when you're on a road trip, but that's what he does. He's in for the night. He gets a hotel room. He buys some vodka. He calls his wife from the hotel room and he goes, I'm all right. You know, I'm down here in New Mexico. I'm not in Nashville just yet. The journey just began. What do you expect? What do you expect? No, he goes, I'm still headed there, but... And the wife's like, what's going on? Like, she could tell something was off. She could tell something was off. She thought it was weird because when he called, he told her, I'm all right. Everything's okay. And she thought, well, yeah, you just left your New Mexico. You just left a couple hours ago. What could go wrong between LA and New Mexico? She thought that was weird. She could tell something was wrong. So she starts pressing him for stuff. He goes, quote, you wouldn't believe if I told you, unquote. She asked him then, Jim, what's the matter? Is anything wrong? And he replied, quote, forget it. Just forget I said anything. I'll call you from Nashville. Unquote. Next day, 26 miles away from the hotel, he's seen walking near a remote ranch. He's walking away from a parked car. He was never seen again. When he didn't get to Nashville and he didn't call his wife, they start a missing persons case on this. And what they figure out is that he got the hotel, but he never slept there. He got the motel room, he left his key in the motel room, never slept in the bed. He must have driven out that night. The last time he was seen was walking around that ranch 26 miles away. In his car, they found money, they found clothes, they found like luggage. They found a box of unsold records, and they found his guitar. And that's when his wife goes, okay, something's wrong, because I'll tell you right now, he would leave all of that stuff, but he would never leave that guitar. If he ever needed to make money, he'd probably take the cash too. But she goes, he needs that guitar to make money. That's his life. With that guitar, he can make it anywhere. So the fact that he left the guitar really, really made her afraid that something bad happened. Now, the police were looking at the obvious. One, suicide. He got out of his car, just walked into the wilderness, and died. On purpose. The other one was that the car maybe had some trouble, and he walked to go get help and died of exposure. There was no reports of the car having trouble, though, so that puzzled them. Then there's things like foul play. That he was forced to go out there, that somebody kidnapped him, that somebody murdered him, and his bleached bones are somewhere in the wilderness. That would show evidence of him being murdered. But of course, because his first album was titled UFO, the story that really took hold was the Space Brothers took him home. That he went out into the middle of nowhere, New Mexico, which is home of Roswell, and he got abducted by aliens. One of his best friends, Al Dobbs, this old famous actor who actually was one of the guys who helped raise money for him, he says, listen, I think it's really poetic to think that he's out there wandering somewhere, but I think something bad happened to the guy. I don't think that he got picked up by aliens or he's wandering the wilderness or anything like that. That was his take on it. But the fans of his, they're like, Al Dobbs, you big old party pooper. Let's say that he went and hung out with aliens, because we don't know. And his album wasn't a success. His follow-up album wasn't a success, and it became a collector's item for decades in the underground folk music scene. People would talk about Jim Sullivan, and this mystery would be part of it. They're like, yeah, he recorded this album about UFOs. He recorded the song. He goes on talking about just walking. The song's a really interesting song. The song UFO is basically about, like, the Alien Brotherhood, and if you saw a UFO, would you believe it was Jesus, or would you believe Jesus was a UFO? It's a really interesting song. The album, I'll tell you this right now, the album is great. You guys who know that I listen to music, everyone listens to music, but I listen to West Coast 90s gangster rap, and I listen to pop music. And that's why I don't do a Dead Rabbit Recommends Music, because you guys don't want to hear me recommend Spice One's 1990 Sick. It's a great album. It's a great album. But you guys aren't going to listen to 1996 or Hollowtip, Taking No Shorts, or any of that stuff. You guys should. It's great. You guys aren't going to listen to Taylor Swift's 1989 unless you guys listen to it already. The reason why I don't do Dead Rabbit Recommends for Music, because music is such a personal thing. But my music tastes are pretty specific. I like bubblegum pop and 90s West Coast gangster rap. in equal amounts. My MP3 player is almost a 50-50 split of those two. So when I was researching this story, I put in Jim Sullivan's UFO album. I don't know how many times I listened to it. It's like a half-hour album, and it is so mellow and cool. You feel cool listening to it. And it's a really cool album to research to, because it's so mellow and just kind of underneath everything. And you guys know that's not my type of music, so I really recommend... In the show notes, both albums are in there. You can listen to them on YouTube. And sure, you can buy them as well. Because what happened was, it was this cult collector's item. There was only so many copies of these albums pressed. It was a vanity press the first time. The second time, it was a flop album from Playboy Records. And in 2010, this guy who had heard this, he's like, dude, this album's great. This guy is an amazing musician. And his story is just bonkers. He just walked into the desert. Whether or not he got abducted by aliens, he did just disappear without a trace. So this guy was able to buy the rights of both albums and reissued them in 2010, and they became a big hit. And you know why they became a big hit? Because the story of Jim Sullivan was covered on Coast to Coast AM. It's an interesting story. It's actually kind of heartwarming. And it does suck that he's passed on or walked away or lost or anything like that. But his music lived long past him. Like, his legacy lived on. And it lived on through Coast to Coast AM because he had this album called UFO, and he very well might have been abducted by aliens. We don't know. If he had walked off willingly, he would have taken his guitar. And if it was some sort of mob hit, you figured they would have taken the cash. So what was going on? What did he see? And he told his wife, forget I said anything. Did he see something in the sky? Was that simple song that he wrote about UFOs and contactees and spiritual enlightenment involving extraterrestrial space brothers? Did that trigger something? Maybe Jim Sullivan couldn't find an audience on Earth, but he found an audience that was out of this world. And then, because his story involved aliens, 50 years later, it was reported on an alien radio show and gained the earthly audience that he deserved all along. The story of Jim Sullivan transcends just a man walking into the desert and walking into mystery. It's a story of an artist who struggled but never gave up. Never gave up. He was just a man who would hit a barrier, readjust, and try again. So whether or not Jim Sullivan was abducted by aliens, and hopefully he was, hopefully he wasn't murdered, or he just didn't walk into the desert. Maybe he walked into a portal. Hopefully it's something like that, right? Those are the happier endings, because unfortunately he is missing. I can't just make him reappear. But hopefully he did pass on into some great, grand cosmic adventure. But regardless of that, I think Jim Sullivan is a perfect example for us and our current 90 Days to a Better You challenge. Right now, we're all spending the next 90 days to be better than we are today. And Jim Sullivan is one of those people. It wasn't perfect. He had a drinking problem. His marriage was falling apart. None of our lives are perfect. But he kept having a goal. And when he was stymied, he would simply readjust and keep shooting for that goal. He wanted to be a musical legend so much that even his disappearance from the mortal world couldn't stop his drive. And here we are today in the year 2021, talking about a man who dreamed of being a music legend. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. Twitter is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm glad you listened to it today. Have a great weekend, guys. I have an appointment with a hog.